So we're doing Maasei Shimshon, and we're up to Chelek He, the fifth section. After Shimshon has argued with his father and pleaded his case that he wants to marry this Timnis, this Philistine woman from the city of Timnas, Yored Timnata. Our next scene, Samson goes down to Timnas, Vaviv Ve'imo, he is with his father and mother, V'inei Kfir Arayot Shoeg Likrato, and a young lion comes charging, roaring at him, V'agvura Ba Le'ezro, and so might comes to support him. Remember, might in this play is going to be represented by a woman, dressed in fine armor. So this woman called might is coming to help him, to give him the strength to stand up to the lion. Yes.
All right, I wasn't before. People asked this before. Is it supposed to be performed, or did he just write it to?
I don't know, but I assume it was performed. Uvirota koyomar. And so Samson sees might coming, and as we know, Samson is suddenly girdled with extraordinary strength. Strength.
Suddenly, I've watched this, sweetheart. I'm going to rip the slide apart.
No, the idea is in poetry and plays. So sometimes a concept is personified. Sometimes we want a representation of a concept by an actor. And the idea is that the way that actor is dressed and the way that actor speaks represents certain traits of that strength, that attribute. So here, what Ramchal did was he took the might and he's given it to an actor dressed as a woman. And that actor is coming to give Samson strength. And now Samson speaks to Might as though Might is this external factor he can talk to, and he says to her, as we did previous times, we will read through the section and then review it and analyze word by word.
In the real life, Shimshon had the strength, the button was always on?
No.
Or did it only come to a certain time?
That's an excellent point. The Navi seems to indicate that every time he was faced with a challenge, it's as though God settled on him and gave him the strength to do it. And it seems that at some point he got used to it. Because you see, when he went out against the Philistines the last time, when they grabbed him and took out his eyes, he didn't realize God wasn't with him. So that's a question. The term in the Navi is Vatachel Ruach Hashem Lefa'amo. God's spirit started clanging before him like a bell. So that certainly indicates that it came in pulses. It wasn't a constant, the way Avram just pointed out. You know, he had strength, and then he was regular, and then he had, and then he was regular. So it certainly seems that way. Even, you know, the one instrument, or one of the instruments that has a very short-lived chime is the bell, excuse the pun. Right? You know, the cymbal has all these percussion instruments, they have short-lived noise. And the description of God's being with Shimshon is described as lefa'amo. God, so to speak, clanged on him, as though it kept happening, but it was like a pulse. Right, that's a very good point. Even though I haven't found a place where it actually spells it out, but that's certainly what it seems like. You see, the Talmud says, Shechina mikashkeshet lefanav kezug. God was clanging before him like a bell. And the question is, what's the metaphor in that? So I thought that maybe that's what it's coming to illustrate. Maybe. Okay, so Samson turns to the might and says, and again, we're going to run through it, then come back and analyze it. Yafav anashim, O most beautiful of women, ech lavo mihard, how you have come so swiftly. How now that I have a time of affliction, you have come to my help. Can't help but notice this, right? The woman is what's going to ultimately do him in. And the woman is the one he's turning to and saying, you're here when I needed you most.
Only with Peles, the same thing, the juxtaposition in that parasha as well.
Your reasoning should be more blessed than the matriarchs who were women of the tent. And you are blessed, for you have rescued me from the teeth of this lion that has roared against me. Hine ata akuma shaseyu keshasagdi. So now I will arise, tear him into two as one would tear a goat. Basher chanantel zroa uzila sot chayil. As you've given me this gift that my arm has the might. Nusi efo mini emav afachad. Now Samson turns to fear, to trepidation, and says, flee from me. Tilbash nachosen zroot hayachad. My arms should unite and be dressed with strength. Ben kol chamudot tachvosh migbat chen vechavod. Amongst all treasured garments, I should now wear the treasured garment, the hat of charm and honor. Titmoch chosen v'koach, supporting strength, fortitude. Tischak lapachad, I can turn to fear and scorn fear. Now you can let me rest in peace, because who can take something, who can take a belonging from one who has might? Now that you've given me strength, no one can take me down. And with that, he charges the lion, tears him into two, and concludes his speech. And that's the conclusion of his speech, right?
Must be palatable. You must feel it come through his body, right?
Yes. Yeah. So that's the conclusion of the speech. Okay. So now, if we want to analyze the speech, we have to see where is Ramchal taking these words from. So let's begin with Yafa Banashim, almost beautiful of women. Where do we find that, guys? You can probably guess. Very good. Shir Hashirim, the Song of Songs. So if you guys can open your Tanakhs to the Song of Songs. The Song of Songs is in writings. In Ksuvim.
I'm assuming this would have to be played by a beautiful woman. So wouldn't that kind of be against lots of Jews that say you can?
In ancient times, men would get dressed up as women. And in Shakespeare's play, women wouldn't get on stage. Men played women's roles. Even the non-Jews didn't have a thought to put a woman up there on stage. They were all kinds of happy men playing the roles of women. Shir Hashem. So we're opening our Tanakhs to the Song of Songs. And we're in the first chapter. We'll begin with the first chapter, the 8th Pasuk. You guys have Shir Hashirim? So that verse speaks about the Jews in exile. And the verse says, Im lo tedi lach. If you, the woman of Israel, if you don't know how to behave, Hayafa banashim, the people of Israel, most beautiful of women, go after the footsteps of the sheep, and there you should graze your young sheep the way your shepherds graze, the way your patriarchs grazed you. So what's that talking about? You don't know how to bring up, you don't know what to do with your kids. Look at your predecessors. Samson is breaking away from tradition. Avram ensures his son marries a Jewish woman, right? Yitzchak ensures his son marries a woman from the family. Samson's going off. But let's go forward to the 6th chapter, first Pasuk. It happens to be, it shows up again in the 5th chapter, 9th Pasuk. Madodech midoda yafa banashim. Why do you treat your God is different than all the others, you most beautiful of women? That's how the people of Israel are called. Notice that throughout the Song of Songs, Hayafa Banashim, the most beautiful of women, is a code for the Jewish people. The most beautiful of women. Huh?
Thank you. So,
the 6th chapter begins with the nations turning to the people of Israel and saying to them, Ana halach dodech. Where is your beloved gan hayafa banashim? Most beautiful of women. Where is your beloved? Where'd he go? How come you're all alone in this exile? Ana fana dodech unvakshenu imach. Where'd he go? Let's seek him out with you. Etc. Oh, my beloved, he's gone out to the fields. He's picking roses. I am faithful to him, and he is faithful to me. Ani le dodi ve dodi li haroe bashoshanim, who grazes among the roses. And the key with the rose is that it's beautiful, but it's prickly. And Samson is going down a path which he believes is beautiful, in spite of the fact that it's prickly. Yes, there are dangers, but he's going for the Jewish people. And he's saying, yes, sometimes the beloved has to go and graze among the thorns. I have to go now for the people. He is going for the sake of heaven. Yafa v'anashim, so he turns, most beautiful of women, to the might. But there's a reference to the might that has to be in Samson if he's going to be undercover in Philistine territory. Let's see. Yes?
Is Shimshon Gogor in a position the whole time, or is he getting signs from Hashem, you're doing the right thing?
Let's see. That's a good question. One of the things we have to consider is, what's the message in tearing the lion to pieces? So we understood that the lion represented the Philistines. But in Yaakov's blessing, how does he bless the tribe of Dan? Dan, Gur, Aryeh, Yizanek, Min, Habashan. Dan is a young lion who leaps out of the Bashan.
What?
Bashan, that's an area of a forest, of woods.
Huh?
So Dan is like a young lion. So when Samson takes apart a lion, and then he comes to them and gives them this riddle from the consumer, comes out sweets, comes out food, and from the powerful one comes out sweets, is he maybe saying from the tribe of Dan that from me, who potentially is so powerful and destructive to the Philistines, can still come something sweet? Look, I'm marrying into the Philistines. What's he alluding to? Last time we suggested he was alluding to the idea that from the Philistines who were consuming Israel, some sweet has come out, his bride has come out. And now maybe there's another meaning to that. But let's continue, we're not yet up to that.
Does anyone else exhibit such strength in the whole of the Torah? Or is he like the foremost, most strongest man that ever lived, so to speak?
I don't know.
I just realized that's one kind of thumbs up to go and do what you want to do. So if you can use power, no one's ever had before. That's pretty good thumbs up from the Lord.
Okay. Eich lavo mi hart. You've come so quickly. You've come so quickly. Where do we have the word mi hart? So we have a very interesting story in Tanakh. There's a man named Navo. He has a gorgeous wife named Abigail. And David's men have been protecting Navo's shepherds out in the forest, out in the fields, in the deserts. And when Navo makes a party, so David sends messengers and says, it would be nice if you take some of the food from the catering, all the wonderful food you're serving, send it to my men. You know you've benefited a lot from your men's being my neighbors. And Novel says, what a bum, what a rebel. There are so many rebels these days. Why does he think I'm going to take my food and give it to him? And he curses David out and he sends the messengers back with that. Abigail gets word that this is what happened. And one of the servants tells her, you know, he was really nice to us, but he can come down here and kill everyone. And Abigail prepares donkeys laden with good food and sweets and wine, and she takes it in the middle of the night and heads out to King David. Little does she know that King David sat down, convened the court, and they ruled that Nabal had rebelled against King David. David was already anointed by Shmuel, by the prophet, to be king, and they decide that he deserves the death penalty. They all get their swords on, and they're headed to Nabal to destroy Nabal with the sole intent they will leave no man alive in Nabal's home. They're coming out there and destroying everyone. Nabal's wife, Abigail, is coming down the hill from this side. David's coming down the hill from that side. And she catches up to him. And she says, Rabbi, I have a question. So he says, what's your question? She says, I have a cloth. I checked myself to see if my menstruation has ceased or not, and I'm clean. I want you to tell me if the cloth is clean. He says, it's the middle of the night. How can I tell if the cloth is clean? She says, very good. So you don't give a halachic ruling at night. And you think you could give a halachic ruling at night about whether a whole family deserves to be killed? Now, she was a prophetess. She was an exceptional woman. So she comes to him and says, you know, it's very nice. You don't want to give ruling about a small question in the middle of the night, but you give ruling about a big question in the middle of the night?
That's just because you can't see.
Right, but she was telling him, you can't see this question either. So he says, what do you want? I don't need to give ruling. He rebelled against me, and I was anointed by God as king, and I have a right to kill him. And she says, where's your coin? He says, you're right. She says, I haven't seen your coin circulating in the population yet. He says, you're right. She says, if you don't have a coin yet, you're not a full-fledged king. If you're not a full-fledged king, you're sure you're allowed to kill him? David says, ooh, you are so smart. Blessed is your reasoning. Now, if you open your Tanakh quickly, let's see that pasuk, because we're going to see that King David's response to Abigail is much of this speech. Meaning much of those words that King David is going to tell Abigail, Ramchal put in the words of Samson when he sees the might coming towards him. Brucha ta'amech, brucha at. Brucha ta'amech. No. We're short on time.
Don't answer any last questions. I'll take any questions.
What?
Don't answer any last questions. If you don't answer mine, please.
So you have to grow up and not take it personally. Sorry.
It doesn't work that way.
So when you'll run the class, you'll have to decide how you think you have to run it. When I run the class, I have to do the way I think to run it. In my last thought.
No worries.
Okay. What you understand is that...
I understand what you're saying.
Right? Absolutely. It's not fair that... What?
You wear.
I think that when you'll run a class, you'll do it the way you understand. It's not personal, but it's also not right for you to tell me whose question taken, who not. When I don't take your question, it's not because it's personal, it's because you already asked four, and no one else asked one. So I'm very happy answering your questions, which are very legitimate, but it's not fair, you know, there's a balance here, right? I think that's fair. Right, that's why, from your perspective, you'll do the way you see fit. Okay. So we're in the book of Samuel, what the Christians call Samuel A, the 25th chapter.
We're not in Shirshim anymore?
No. 25th chapter, 32nd Pasuk. So David says to Abigail, after she's shown him that halachically he has no right to kill out the family, her husband, Nabal, and everyone else. So David says to Abigail, Baruch, you guys have it? 25th chapter, 32nd Pasuk. Vayomer David la Abigail, Baruch Hashem Elokei Israel. David says to Abigail, blessed is Hashem, the God of Israel, asher shlechech hayom hazeh likrati, that sent you today towards me. Uvaruch ta'amech, and blessed is your reasoning. Uvrucha at, and blessed are you. Asher kilitini hayom hazeh mibo v'damim, that you saved me today from sinning with blood. Vehoshea yadi li, and you really saved me. You rescued me here. V'ulam chai Hashem Elokei Yisrael, asher mna'ani me'ara otach, kilulei mi'haot likrati. But I swear in the name of Hashem, the God of Israel, who prevented me from hurting you, that if you wouldn't have rushed towards me, ki im notan le'naval ador boker mashtin bekir, Naval wouldn't have had anyone left to have a single thought. Nothing would have been left. So you see the brucha ta'amech, you see the mihart v'tavot, the words we see there, we see here. Coming back to Samson. Yehi ta'amech mininashim ba'oel baruch. So that's the same play on words, brucha ta'amech, that David says to Abigail, and it's Vrucha at, you see it? Ki yoshatani miben shenei kfirim. He takes the same play on words. What was unique about Abigail? She was beautiful. What else?
Smart.
She was a prophetess. She was smart. What else?
She was married to a goy?
No. Naval was Jewish. She was from the tribe of Judea. What else?
She was a new guru of Chava. That's pretty special.
Okay.
She had good reasoning.
She had good reasoning. And we see a few more things about Abigail. We see number one, she taught David not to kill. One of the central themes of Samson is that his might is constantly active. And we repeatedly say, Ezu Gibor, what is true might? The capacity to take control, not to necessarily be active. Maybe Samson's conclusion is, what did all my might do for me if I didn't have the strength to stand up to these women? Abigail did another thing. It says that when King David saw her, he charged miles ahead of his men. He was so excited by her beauty. He sees her coming down the mountain. He sees her. He charges and he's running. And she says, I got a cloth. I want to ask you a Shaila, Rabbi. He says, oh, wait. So she's so smart. She can get David. And that's why he says, you prevented me from damim, from bloods. Because he would have sinned on two accounts. Two types of blood. One, murder. He wasn't really allowed to kill Naval, and he wasn't really allowed to take his wife Abigail. And in her brilliance, she was able to withhold him from that. Now, a few days later, Naval dies and he marries her. So ultimately, Abigail becomes King David's wife. But in King David, we see a tremendous... King David is one of the prime examples of patience. What was Adam's sin? He didn't have patience. He wanted the fruit. So he grabs the fruit right away. Had he waited an hour or two, he would have made kiddush on that wine. But he didn't. He ran and ate the fruit. One of the weaknesses we always have is that we try to take something. We want to eat matzah the afternoon before Pesach. You smell the matzah, you're not eating anything. You want to eat it just before. We always want it before it's permissible. A person is engaged. He doesn't want to wait till the wedding night. He wants to have his wife now. But Judaism trains us. It's double even, because you know on the wedding night, if she was a virgin, so then the couple becomes prohibited after the first time for another 12, 13 days.
What?
If the woman was a virgin, so then when her hymen breaks, she bleeds, and then the couple is prohibited for another 12 days right after the wedding night. They're permissible for... When you'll learn, you'll see. Coming back to... Huh? So he charged her, right. But she, in her question, she was able to get him to take control and say, wait, this isn't right. I have no right to this. So he holds back on killing Naval. He holds back on taking her. And she ends up being his wife. In 3 months, they're married. I'm saying 10, 11 days later, it says 10 days Naval dies. 10 days later, Naval dies. And then, you know, they wait 3 months to make sure she's not pregnant from Naval, and then he marries her. So, this is one of the themes of Shimshon. Where is his might? His might is always in the brawn. But what about standing up to these women? So yes, he starts off running after them because it's part of his plan to save the Jewish people. But ultimately, he's also running after his eyes. And one of the major themes here is, how does Shimshon view might? Is might about taking down the lion? Or is might about standing up to the Philistine woman? Not going after his desires. So he has the might to stand up to the lion, but he's still going after the Philistine woman. So he turns to might, and one of the things we're going to see evolving in Shimshon is how he views his own prowess. How he views what is might, what is Gvura all about. So he turns to her and he says, oh, you've come to me in my time of need. You've come to help me. May your reasoning be blessed of all the women of the tent. What's unique about the women of the tent? They're modest, as we discussed in Matovu Ohalecha. And what's unique about this woman? That he's seeing her out there, and he's interested in her looks, and it's the exact opposite. But you know what? That's one of the messages of the play. Ubruha at ki hoshatani. You see the exact same words, ki hoshatani. You saved me, but you didn't save me from sin. Abigail saves him from sin. He takes the exact wording of Abigail, who saved David from taking a woman he shouldn't have taken, puts it in Samson's mouth as he says, "Oh, you might, you've saved me from the lion." Right? From the lion. That's exactly Samson, right? The might is there for the lion, but it's not there to stay away from the Philistine woman. So, there's a lot more to discuss here. You should be more blessed from the women of the tent. Where do we find that? Who is blessed from the women of the tent? Sorry, man, they're the women of the tent. Who is blessed with this blessing? Minashim Bol Tivorach. That was Yael. You have a woman who's married to Hever the Cainy, and there's a time of war, and the general Sisera is running away from the camp, and she comes out and seduces her into her tent, and she sleeps with him, and then when he's sleeping, she takes the spoke of the tent and puts it through his temple and kills him. So she also went with a non-Jewish man. She was a married woman. She went with a non-Jewish man in order to rescue the Jewish people. Similar to Esther, right. So, what you just said is in the Talmud. It's a Talmudic comment. Very good. So, he's saying you should be blessed from the women of the tent. Again, Ramchal is playing this game. Where do we find that? With the one woman who actually did a similar sin, went to enemy side, slept with the enemy to kill the enemy to rescue the Jewish people. But it was a one-time thing, and she got blessing. So perhaps he's alluding to what Samson was thinking. Hey, this is the way we won against Sisera. It seems from Chazal he was the most formidable opponent since the Egyptians. Sisera was number two in Jewish history. You have the Egyptians are number one, and then Sisera. How did we take him down? By going to enemy side, sleeping with the enemy. So perhaps that's what's happening here. Samson also views himself as, I'm doing like Yael. This happened before in Jewish history. To save the Jewish people, I'm going over to enemy sides. Okay? Undercover. So, there's much more to discuss, but we got to go to Ma'ariv. So, next week. One question.